Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, was the headliner at the California Republican Party Convention in Sacramento. The three-day event over the weekend also included a Q&A session with local Congress members Doug LaMalfa and Tom McClintock. But all eyes and ears were on that Saturday lunch with the newly elected Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield. Speaker McCarthy, who has been in the headlines himself a lot recently, took swipes at California Democrats, including Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Congressman Adam Schiff, who's also running for Senate, and of course, Governor Gavin Newsom. This comes on the heels of some big news here at home, with Governor Newsom's announcement last week that he's backing out of contracts with Walgreens over access to abortion pills. Lots to discuss in the political world that is California. So that's why we called upon our state politics reporter, Nicole Nixon, who is here to break everything down for us and get us up to speed. Welcome, Nicole. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, let's focus on the GOP convention here in California. It happens every year. What is the purpose and who attends?
Yeah, political parties hold these conventions once or twice a year, just a chance to get together. They do official party business, like electing their party officers. This past weekend, the chairwoman, Jessica Milan Patterson, was reelected for another two-year term. And then they also do just things like volunteer trainings, hearing from their party officials, you know, like Kevin McCarthy.
This year came with a pretty big change with Kevin McCarthy now as Speaker of the House. Would you say because of that, there was more buzz at this year's event than in previous years?
Well, the conventions I've attended in the past were virtual because of the pandemic.
Oh, that's right. So
being in person was a big change for me. But I think, yes, there was definitely like a sense of victory, real excitement around, you know, having Republicans back in control of the House and also having the Speaker be no longer a Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, but Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, I think the last time I attended, it was definitely before the pandemic. It was like 2017 or something. So given that Speaker McCarthy was the main guest this weekend, what did he talk about? What was his bigger message?
Yeah, he gave a pretty wide-ranging speech. He tried to hype up the state's Republicans who don't see much you know, in the way of statewide victories these days. But he highlighted the fact that they've flipped five congressional seats since 2020 away from Democrats. Talked about his first few months as speaker. He made a joke actually about the fact that it took him 15 rounds of voting to become speaker. So let's hear that.
I'm not sure if any of you watched that vote for speaker. Look, anybody can win on the first vote. But to be able to go 15, I thought you might miss a vote or two.
So he's joking about it now. But he also talked about, you know, his first few months, talked about the debt ceiling and the drama there. He had a meeting with President Biden about it. He talked about his platform, which includes what he calls a parents' bill of rights, a proposal that came after the pandemic. Took some hits, as you mentioned, at Pelosi and Newsom and Adam Schiff, and talked about removing Adam Schiff and Congressman Eric Swalwell and Representative Ilhan Omar from their committees, which actually got a lot of applause from this Republican crowd, and then hit on things like China and fentanyl. Pretty like policy heavy, but yeah.
I said, Mr. President, there's two things I will never do. I will not raise taxes and I will not pass a clean debt ceiling. But if you want to cut spending, you want to find savings for the American public? I'm all in.
You know, we're having this conversation, you know, at a time when I know it's 2023, but 2024 is a big year and it's really right around the corner. So was there talk or buzz about the presidential primary? I mean, we had Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He was in Southern California recently. And then also President Trump is making his rounds as well.
Yeah, party officials were not talking about this openly. It's still pretty early, you know, for them. Ron DeSantis has surpassed Trump in the polls among California Republican voters, but he hasn't even said whether he's going to run yet. So, you know, I think plenty of Republicans are kind of weighing their options and see who else will jump in.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon. So let's get to the big news last week. And that was Governor Newsom announcing that the state will no longer, quote, do business with Walgreens. And that's one of the largest pharmacies in the country. And this is all over Walgreens' decision to not supply the abortion pill in 20 states. So how and why did this come about?
Yeah, we really have to go back to January for this. So that is when the FDA announced that it was changing a rule to allow pharmacies to get certified to dispense an abortion pill called mifepristone, just to make it easier to access. It was pretty soon after that that Republican attorneys general in 20 states sent a letter to large pharmacy chains, including Walgreens, CVS, threatening legal action if they move forward with selling the drug in those states. You know, abortion is basically banned in many of those states. And then earlier this month is when Walgreens said that it would only dispense mifepristone, the abortion drug, in jurisdictions where it is legal to get an abortion. And pro-abortion rights folks saw this decision by Walgreens as really bending to anti-choice states. They say it'll put women at risk in those states and take away access to health care. And Governor Newsom saw it as an opportunity to really kind of wield the spending power of the state of California to effectively punish Walgreens for that decision. And I do want to make some side notes about mifepristone. So it is a medication abortion, which is actually the most common way that people choose to end a pregnancy. And it works up to 10 weeks gestation. And again, the vast majority of abortions occur in that first trimester. So this is a very common option for people who are seeking abortion care.
You know, when I first got the release from the governor's office, what does not doing business with Walgreens actually mean? Are the franchise, the chains going to like shut down in the state or something?
Well, yeah, it caused some confusion. You know, he was talking about business between the state government and Walgreens. So Walgreens is not closing all of its pharmacies and leaving the state. It will remain here. And it took a couple days for the governor's office to, you know, really pin down what business the state does have with Walgreens. And it's a contract that the state has with Walgreens for specialized medication for prison inmates. This has been on the books since about 2017. It's worth about $54 million over that time. Newsom's office has said it was set to be renewed next month, but that's not happening. He's canceled it. And again, this is an example of the governor trying to use California's spending power to influence an industry. And it's worked. I think, you know, you've seen New York officials also putting some pressure on these retail pharmacies. And then again, this morning, the governor's office just sent around a letter signed by Newsom and 13 other Democratic governors to CEOs of a bunch of other pharmacies, Rite Aid, CVS, Safeway, kind of putting the pressure on them to make a decision about this and continue dispensing this abortion pill in states where it is legal.
Hmm. How did Walgreens respond?
Yeah, I got a statement from their spokesperson, Fraser Engerman. He said they are deeply disappointed by the decision. He cited false and misleading information. And he said that Walgreens plans to dispense this drug in any jurisdiction where it's legal. And that does include California. So, you know, for now, it'll continue to, well, first they have to be certified by the FDA and then they'll be able to dispense it. But at the same time, there's this lawsuit over this pill in Texas, a federal lawsuit, and a ruling could come pretty much any day on that. So that could have wide-ranging implications for access to this drug as well.
Yeah, it goes beyond it being solidified into the California Constitution, right? So given that Walgreens may have gotten caught, did they get caught between federal abortion issues and California's move to essentially like codify abortion rights in the state constitution? I mean, was this act that the governor did, was it too soon? Was it premature?
I mean, I think that people were confused because he was announced we're not doing business with Walgreens, but it was like, okay, what business? What does that mean? Like you said, and it took a few days to get that information. So I think it's just this is still very complicated with a lawsuit going on, especially with pretty new FDA rules. And I don't believe any of these pharmacies have been certified yet to dispense this drug, even in states where abortion is legal and accessible. Yeah, there's a lot going on and it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated indeed. So there's a lot for you to follow on that front. But speaking of abortion and reproductive rights, the Legislative Women's Caucus, they began to unveil its package of bills to expand rights here in California. Walk us through some of the bills that are being considered.
Yeah, it's a pretty big list of bills. There's over a dozen that might get thinned out a little bit as things move through. But abortion rights advocates say that there are two big themes this year with abortion legislation in California, and that is protecting patient privacy and increasing support for providers. And we saw a little bit of early movement on this last year. So some of these bills would include things like legal safeguards for providers and other, you know, like abortion funds, folks who help patients from other states come to California to get an abortion to make sure they're not getting sued. Several proposals to shield patient medical records, things like digital privacy, adding protections under the California Privacy Rights Act to make sure that those aren't going to be able to be subpoenaed or anything like that from out-of-state groups. And again, additional supports, making it easier to provide abortions. You know, last year they allowed nurse practitioners to perform first trimester abortions. It looks like they might move to allow physician's assistants to do that as well. Things like that.
A lot for you to follow. Finally, Nicole, an interesting nugget out of the state capitol is a decision by Governor Newsom to not hold a state of the state address. Isn't it mandated by law? And what's going to happen in place of that?
Yeah. So instead of a typical, you know, in the legislature, or more recently, he's been doing it in a state auditorium, big speech about the state of the state, he's deciding to go on a tour around the state and give speeches in different areas. So there will be one in Sacramento, one in the Bay Area, one in L.A., and one in San Diego. These are four speeches over 4 days later this week. He is mandated by law to update the legislature on the state of the state, but he will fulfill that obligation, his office says, by sending a letter. At these tour stops, he'll be giving a speech and making policy announcements. They say looks like, you know, homelessness and housing, mental health, things like that. Will be big topics.
So maybe curating it to each region of the state. We are a big state. You know, finally, is this going to be impacted given that Governor contracted COVID last week? How's he doing?
I haven't heard how he's doing since Friday. It sounded like he was doing okay, and he did not go meet President Joe Biden. But, you know, his office sent an official news release or advisory on the state of the state tour, so sounds like that is on.
Nicole, thank you so much.
Thanks.
A lot to go through. Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio's state politics reporter. Up next, Gary Gerald has been the radio voice of the Sacramento Kings for nearly 40 years. The G-Man himself joins us as he surpasses a historic milestone as a sports broadcaster, calling 3,000 games. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.